This is on here. Okay. All right. So good to see all of you here. It's good for me to be here. I certainly was looking forward to being here in the services ever since Brother Joe Shelton asked me to come. And I certainly look forward with great anticipation when I come to East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. It's been the highlight of my ministry. I've been preaching for 54 years plus, soon be 55, and a lot of it was spent right here in this place. And I thank God for East Sly Avenue Baptist Church, and for many of you were here when I was pastor here. And so I really appreciate you. Thank you for hanging in there. I tell you, anybody can quit, but boy, it takes a real Christian to hang in there and stick with the stuff. Amen? Yeah. That's right. And I'm just delighted to be here. I'm like the lightning bug that backed into the electric fan. I'm delighted. Amen. Amen. All right. I tell you what I want to do. You know, when you just got one shot at it, well, you try to be sure that you're in the right place and got the right message and all that. You know what I'm talking about. But I want to preach a message this morning on the road to Armageddon. The road to Armageddon. Open your Bibles to the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And let me say, while you're turning there, I want to welcome those of you that are visiting. And it's just a joy that you came in to be in this service today. And I hope you'll make this place your regular place of worship, because you'll always get the truth right here at East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. And Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Amen. I like the choir, did a good job. I thought they was very proficient in that. Brother Paul does a great job. He used to be my choir director, and he's still doing a good job at it. And the Kidwells are all very special to me down through the years. And, if I start naming everybody, I'm going to leave somebody. I just want you to know I love you all, and thank you for coming. It's good to see Ricky, Dan, Talana, and the boys here with us today. And Miss Betty. Is Betty here? Betty Ushery? Huh? Oh, she's sick. Well, she's got a birthday day after tomorrow. Yeah. Betty and I will have the birthday on the same time. I noticed that a lot of people having birthdays in the month of July. Several of you. Virginia Corners. Is Miss Corners sick? I know she's not been well for some time. Brother Bob, it's good to see Brother Bob Gary. I've been praying for you, Brother Bob. Every time that I pray, the Holy Spirit puts you on my heart. I pray for you. Amen. And Emma Da, I don't know that one. Okay, well, happy birthday, Emma. and Betty Usher, she's not here, Diane Kidwell, on the 12th. All right. And Jody Shelton, she's not here, of course. Hers 27th. Maud Wiggins. Wave at me. All right, all right. And Katrina Stewart. All right, good to see you, Katrina. Jeremiah Kidwell, I believe that's Brother Paul's child. And Gracie Taglarini, that's Brother Chris's baby or boy, girl, Gracie. That's that. I guess you'd say that was a girl, wouldn't you? Yeah. And then Oscar Stewart the third. All right, he's over in the Children's Church in Pearl Smith. Also, that's Brother Smith's wife. All right. Would you like to sing happy birthday to everybody? Come on, will you let me lead it? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Oh, I wish you many, many more. But boy, I'm telling you, we're getting down to the end of this thing. You better believe that. All right, I want to read two verses here. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." This is the Lord Jesus talking now. He says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You know, he's going to come. When does a thief come? When he is unexpected. I had a tools in my shed out there where I live, and there was a board that was off of the shed about 8 inches wide, I guess. I knew it couldn't be nobody like me or Brother Joe or some of the rest of you that are your, could not have gotten in that place. It wasn't an adult, but it was a little boy that they put through there, and then he unlocked the door on the inside, and they cleaned me out. Took everything worthwhile. I had a compressor, and it was a big compressor. You'd have to haul on a truck that a brother gave to me. I used it when I was at Landmark. And they took that. And it had to be adults to load that on the truck. And so I thought, you know, if I just had known when those people were going to get in there, I'd have caught those rascals. Yeah. And they had been in trouble because I had a .38 caliber. And I wouldn't shoot them to kill them. I'd shoot them to break them, break their habits. But a thief, you don't know when a thief is going to come. They broke in here at this church and that little church when I was pastor here. And they came in the back window over here. Somehow or another, they got in. And I thought, well, I'm going to check that out. I don't believe they could get in there that way. And I thought, well, I'll climb out this window and see. But it was too far when I got out there to drop down. And I tried to hang on, and I tore up my hand. That wasn't a very smart thing for me to do. But we've had break-ins. When thieves come, you don't expect them to be there. And that's what Jesus is saying, the way that he's coming for the church. He said, behold, I come as a thief in the night. As a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk and be naked, walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. I want to bring a message on that today after I pray. Father, I want to thank you today for this beautiful Sunday morning that you've given to us. And thank you, Lord, for these precious people that have turned out to and left their homes and come to church and sang these wonderful hymns and songs and fellowship and shake hands and hug one another and all the wonderful things that goes on in the church house. We thank you for that. And now, Father, I pray you'll enable us to bring the message today that's needed. You laid this message on my heart, and I pray that you'll help me that I might say just exactly what you would have me to say. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that's not saved, I pray that the Spirit of God will convict them of sin, show them their need of a Savior before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Lord, we believe that you're soon coming again. Oh, I ask you in Jesus' name, hasten the time when you shall return and take all of your children home to be with you. What a glorious day that's going to be. Now bless this service today. Bless our pastor that's away from us today. Take care of him and his family and give them safety as they travel on the highways back and forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say today that in answer to this question, when is the Battle of Armageddon going to take place? And may I say to you today that the rapture of the church is the next thing on God's agenda. He's going to take the church out. That's the thing that's going to happen in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. We'll be here for 1 second, and then the next second, we'll be called out to meet Jesus in the air. Won't that be wonderful? Oh, I tell you, I live in anticipation of the coming of our blessed Lord. And he is coming again. The Lord Jesus is coming again. And that's the hope of the church. He said over there in the book of Matthew, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming again, folks. Don't you ever let anybody put a doubt in your mind today that Jesus is not coming, because I'm telling you, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming. I'm not a date setter. I don't believe nobody ought to be a date setter. But I believe that the coming of Jesus is so near we can almost... I believe old Gabriel may be licking his lips, fixing to blow the trumpet. It could be that close at hand. I believe that Jesus is coming very, very soon. You say, why do you say that? Two things. Number one, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, the Bible said, the imagination of men's hearts were continually evil. Everything that was going on in that day was ungodly and sinful. And can we deny that today? It's going on today. And I'm telling you, folks, we're running out of time. If you're not in, you better get in. The other reason is, he said it would be a day like it was in the day of Lot. You know what the day of Lot was? It was the thriving of homosexuality. Men marrying men and women marrying women. The governor of California just signed a law that said it's all right for two women to get married, two men to get married. That, I'm telling you, that would just about gag a maggot. God, when he made man upon the earth, he made man and called him Adam. And he took a rib out of Adam and made a woman, and he called her Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Amen. And I'm telling you, there is a flourishing of homosexuality that's going on today. It's governors, people in high offices are promoting that, and that's going on. And I'm going to tell you, this will be the downfall of America. I love this country. I thank God that I'm an American. I'm glad that God let me live in America. But I'm telling you, there's a lot that needs to be corrected in this country. So, when will the tribulation take place? Or when will the road to Armageddon take place? It'll happen at the end of the tribulation period. Now, you and I that are saved by the grace of God will not be here when the tribulation period is going on. 7 years of tribulation. You don't want to be here, my friend. You've never seen anything or been in anything like those 7 years of tribulation's going to be. If you think not, then you turn over there and read the 16th chapter, the 15th chapter, the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. And they'll tell you what is going to happen during the tribulation period. I'm glad I'm pulling out of here before that happens. Amen. And so, my friend, the Bible tells us that all nations of the world, including the United States, will turn against Israel. And that's going to happen. And You see, I've traveled all over Israel, from the cedars of Lebanon down to the desert of Edom, and from the Jordan River west to the Mediterranean Sea. And I'm telling you, God gave that country to those Jews, and I'm telling you, they will never give it up. It's theirs. But there's a day coming when these people, all nations, are going to turn against Israel, and then including the United States. And that's when the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. It's going to, where will it take place? It'll happen in the Valley of Jezreel. That's about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. And it's a valley that is 10 miles wide and 200 miles long. And God says that the blood during that Battle of Armageddon will run to the horse's bridle. You think about that. That's going to be some terrible battle. And it's known that this will happen just after the rapture of the church. So the thing I'm trying to get across to you today is, don't you miss out on being saved. If you think you're going to take a chance, you're not taking a chance. You're taking a leap into hell. That's what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, you need to stop long enough and realize that Jesus Christ has provided you with redemption and salvation today. You don't have to go to that terrible place. You don't have to be left here when the Lord takes the church out. You can go with the church. Now, why do I believe there's going to be a battle of Armageddon? Well, God said it. But there's several reasons right before our eyes that tell me that this is going to happen. The return of Israel to her land. I'm telling you, God gave her that land. She came from all points around the world, from Russia, from Germany, from the USA, and all around the world, England, and every place. The Jews are returning to their own country, and they'll never leave there because God's give it to them. It's an eternal, unconditional gift that God told Abraham, I'm going to give it to you. You read that over in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and he says, this is unconditional. I will give you this land and to thy seed forever. That's in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. So I'm telling you today, he said, I will bless them that bless thee. And I believe that's one reason that God has kept America as well as it is today, because America has been a friend of Israel. And I believe when America refuses to be a friend to Israel, America will be no more. He said, I will curse them that curse thee. I will bless them that bless thee. And so he said, in all of these things, God says, I'm giving you this land. It's yours, Abraham, and to your seed forever as an eternal possession. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It belongs to them. You say, why should they have that? Because God gave it to them. God said, it's yours. And it was His. And you say, well, it didn't belong. It belonged to God. Everything you see in this old world belonged to God. And so, the Bible said in Isaiah 35, the desert shall blossom as a rose, and it is in part literally being fulfilled right before our very eyes. The deserts. Israel is in her land and will never leave. Then I want you to see something else. The rise of Russia to a superpower. Before 1948, previously before 1917, Russia was very obscured. They didn't have anything, didn't know anything. And you hardly ever heard anything about Russia before 1917. Of course, I never heard anything until that before then. But I want to say, beloved, they have arose to a prominence in these last days. And I do not believe that Russia, you say, well, Russia's our friend, an ally. Well, if you believe that, you believe just about anything. I'm telling you, they're not our friend. They're not our ally. Russia is in the Word of God. And you read Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39, and it tells you that that old bear is going to come down out of the north and come into Israel to take over that place. But God's going to destroy four-fifths of their armies in one day. Now you think about that. I'm telling you, she has nothing to look forward to. I don't believe that Russia wants peace. They're still communist. Communists don't want peace. Oh, they want peace, all right. They want a piece of this and a piece of that until they've got all of it. But that's the only peace that they're interested in. They're not looking for peace. And I'm telling you today, if you want to find out where Russia is in the Word of God, turn over there and read when you get home today the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And you can read the 37th chapter. That tells about Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones. Israel coming from all parts of the country and landing in Israel, and they're there, but they were not alive. They were in unbelief. But Ezekiel said, I heard a voice and I heard a noise, and the rattling of these bones were coming together. And I'm telling you, God's got a plan for the nation of Israel. And it will never be destroyed. God's going to take care of them. They're God's chosen people. And then I want you to see not only the rise of Russia to a superpower, there's a revival of the Roman Empire. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. But there is a God in heaven. Oh, I'm glad that God still sees what's going on down here upon this earth. He hasn't forgotten about you and I. He's not forgotten about His church. He still loves His church. And He's going to take care of the church until one day He'll rapture it out. Hallelujah. Won't that be wonderful? Daniel, in Daniel 2:28, he said, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Here's what Daniel saw. He saw a head of gold. He saw a breastplate and arms on this stature that he saw. He saw a belly and thigh. He saw his legs. He saw his feet. And that made up that statue that Daniel saw. Let me tell you what those represent. The head of gold was the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar. The breast and arms were silver, was a part of the Medes and Persians. The belly and thigh was made of brass. It was the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great. And his legs, iron, the Roman Empire, the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire. And his feet, iron and clay. That speaks of the common market. You don't hear much about that, but it's going to happen. Did you know, I believe just as sure as I'm standing here today, the day is coming when your dollar won't be worth anything. You see, when I used to go to Israel, and I used to take groups over there, people would follow you around over there and say, give me American dollar. Give me American dollars. But I'm telling you today, not many people want the American dollar. I'm talking about other nations. They'd rather have the euro money. They don't want the American dollar no more because it's losing its value. And I believe that one day it'll be the common market will take over the monetary system around the world. And when that happens, you may be ready to pull out of here. And then the Bible tells us there's going to be that empire, you know what happened to it? Daniel said, I saw a stone that was hewed out of the mountain. Remember what I used to sing that little song? I'm looking for the rock that was hewed out of the mountain that came tearing down the kingdoms of the world. That's what Daniel saw. And Daniel saw that rock, that stone, who was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming through this old world, and he'll break down every obstacle, everything that hinders, and Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem, and he'll rule this earth with a rod of iron. And the church of the living God will be ruling with him for 1,000 glorious years. Oh, I'm telling you, I wouldn't miss that for anything in the world. But let me tell you something else that's going to happen. We're going to see the reunion of a one world church. It's coming together. Now, you know yourself, and I'm telling you this, as a fact, not many people want old-fashioned Christianity anymore. Don't be discouraged because the house is not full. God said in the last days that they would turn away their ears from the truth and they would be turned unto fables. I'm telling you, God said, preach the word, Ray Lindsay, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. I can say today the time has come. When they will not endure sound doctrine. They want this rap. National Council of Churches. World Council of Churches. All religions getting together on the basis of love. Everybody just love one another. No, don't matter what you believe. Just do what you please. Be what you want to be. Live like you feel like it. And don't worry about it. Just love everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't buy that. I'm going to love everybody as far as trying to get them saved, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going along with all this ungodly religion that has no standards and has nothing to, they don't care about what goes on. Everything's all right. I don't believe that. The Catholic priest swapped pulpits with the Baptist and the preacher, Baptist preacher, and the first Baptist in Tampa ordained a woman to preach, and they had Catholic priest on the presbytery. That's where we're at today, folks. This thing is coming together. And we need to open our eyes and look at it and see that we're in the final hours of the grace dispensation. We better get in. I'm glad that I'm saved. And then the last thing, I'm talking about what's happening in this day. We're on the road to the Battle of Armageddon because we see the rejection of fundamental truth. I'll guarantee you, if you'll take your standards down and believe anything, let people just believe any old thing, don't get you a Bible that don't have half of the truth in it, and I'm preaching out of the old King James Bible. I'm a King James Bible man. I want you to know that. I wouldn't give you a rat's hind end for these new translations. I'm telling you, they're no good. They're not worth anything. If you've got one of those old liberal Bibles, throw it in the trash where it belongs. Get you a good King James Bible. That's the book I've been preaching out of for 54 years, and I've seen thousands come to Jesus Christ because of the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, it works. It works. But there's a rejection of fundamental truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they'll be turned unto fables. You know what fables are? Untrue stories. And that's what people want. They don't want the gospel. They don't want the Word of God. They don't want people telling them how to live and what God expects them to do. They don't want that anymore. I'm telling you, I'm talking about as a whole, the world doesn't want that. They want fables. You say, why would you say that, Brother Ray? Because it's in the book. It's in the Bible. Paul wrote it. Timothy had it. It's in the book. And I'm telling you, they turn away their ears from the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, he said, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, forbidding to marry. Know anybody like that? Abstain from certain meats. I'm telling you, this book tells you how to live and how to conduct yourself as a Christian. He said in this book here, this know also that in the last days, are we living in the last days? You bet we are. He said, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I'm telling you, that's where we're at. We're on the verge of the rapture of the church. And my friend, when that takes place, the tribulation's coming in here, and for 7 years, there'll be a tribulation period. You will not, if you've heard the gospel today, you've heard that Jesus died on the cross for your sins today, you'll never have a chance to be saved after the church is taken out. If you're not saved, my advice would be to you to come down here and let somebody take the word of God and show you how that you can know that you're saved and that you're going to heaven. Oh, I'm glad I know that. I don't have to guess about that. Hope so, maybe so, trying to be so. I'm not hanging on, holding out, enduring to the end. I'm enjoying my Christian life. What about you today? Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? If you don't know that, you need to get it. You need to get saved today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Christians, will you pray? Pray and ask.